Let's give God a hand praise this morning. He's truly worthy of all the praise. So as you know, we've been in a series here at Grace titled Stay Tuned. Each of the messages that we've spoke have been from titles of TV shows or movies. Just as a refresher, we talked the very first Sunday of this series from the topic of the series, Stay Tuned. The second week, we talked about As the World Turns. Then the third Sunday of the series, Pastor Ryan came to us and talked to us about Duck Dynasty. And then we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly. On last Sunday, we talked about family from the topic, This Is Us. Now, we're coming to the end of this series here in the next Sunday or so. Today, I want to talk to you from the topic, Extreme Makeover. Extreme Makeover. Reality TV is essentially a television programming in which there is no script, supposedly. Instead, the show focuses on real events or situations. In 2002, ABC launched a reality television show called Extreme Makeover. It ended up being a big hit. People tuned in by the thousands because they wanted to see the extreme makeover that takes place in a person's life. Now, I must admit to you, I am not really all that into reality TV. I'm not interested in The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I really don't care about Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette doesn't really catch my attention. And I'm baffled by Married at First Sight. Love and Hip Hop doesn't catch my attention. I don't really care how desperate the housewives are. And I really don't think that Chrisley knows best. However, I've been fascinated by this reality TV show, Extreme Makeover. For those of you that haven't watched it, the show normally begins with someone who is dissatisfied with their look. As part of the show, they would gather together plastic surgeons, cosmetic dentists, eye surgeons, makeup artists, personal trainers, and dermatologists. And they would bring in that person, and after a few weeks, like magic, the person has been changed into someone stunningly beautiful. One morning when I was watching the show, they took a somewhat ordinary-looking woman, sent her off into another room, and a little later, on that same three-hour episode, they brought her back with a whole new look. She had a new hairdo, new makeup, new clothes, and new accessories. Now, the premises of this show is they would work on the outward appearance of a person to turn an ugly duckling into a beautiful swan. And I thought about it. I also watched Extreme Makeover House Edition. And I looked at where they went to a house where the house was a mess. It was a total disarray, and the closets were junky, and the house was messy. And they went in and cleaned up the house, organized everything, and had it looking real pretty. And then they put the family back in the house. And I had to think, now, if they didn't change the family, eventually the house would be junky and messy all over again. But the work that they would do and the transmission that the transition that they would do on the people was amazing. It would seem that they can take a plain, homey-looking person and transfer them into something ravaging and head-turning and make them beautiful. They could take a 57-year-old and make her or him look 37. It kind of reminds me of a story that I heard once about an old mountain man that lived in the mountains that never visited the big city. One day he decided to take his family to visit the big city. And they walked around the streets of the city and they looked at the skyscrapers and the big lights in the tall buildings, and they were in awe over the sights that they were seeing. As the family walked around and took in the sights of the big, amazing city, the father stood looking at a building and at the elevator in the building. He had never seen an elevator before, or had he ever seen automatic doors. He was amazed as he stood there and watched the doors open and close by themselves. One thing he noticed is that people would get into this mysterious room and the door would close, and a few minutes later, the door would open and they would look totally different. He actually saw an elderly woman walk into this elevator. The door shut automatically, and within a matter of 5 minutes, the door opened and there stood a beautiful young woman. About that time, his son walked up to him and said, "Dad, why are you staring at those doors?" The dad answered, "Never mind, just go get your mother." Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live through one of those before and after extreme makeover situations? It's so easy to get a change that you desire in your life. Even on those shows, it involves operations and changes in your exercise and in your diet. You have to change the way you are in order to be changed, if that makes sense. You have to do something different. Like the people, the family that was put back in the house, you have to change the family or the attitude of the family in order to keep the house clean. Now, my mother used to say, beauty is skin deep, while ugly goes all the way to the bone. To put that in modern terms, it is amazing what money could buy. But it is also extremely amazing what money can't buy. Now, if you're not happy with your nose in this day and time, you can buy a new nose. If you're not happy with your mouth, you can buy a new mouth. And you can get your eyes changed. And you can buy different body parts. But who you are on the inside remains the same. It is much easier to look at the external and see what's wrong and start to fix it. But most people seem to forget to look at what type of person they are on the inside, where an internal makeover is needed. Do you not know that if you are not satisfied with the way you physically look on the outside, and you go and you make all of the necessary changes, you change your eyes, your nose, your lips, your hair, it does not change who you are on the inside. Or you might feel a little more good about yourself. You may get a little more boldness because you changed the outside. But I want you to know that inside will eventually creep up on you because you've only made an exterior change. You see, we as a people, we tend to look at the outward appearance of people. I said this morning in the first service that I belong to a church where the outward appearance meant a whole lot. If you walked into the church and you had on a suit and a tie, nice pair of shoes, and a big coffee table sized Bible under your arm, automatically it was assumed that you were a Christian or a preacher or somebody high in the church, and you were treated differently. But look at what 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his outward appearance or his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things as people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. It is good to know that God is an expert when it comes to transformation. In fact, over and over again, he has shown us that he can change which seems impossible to us. When we look in the mirror at ourselves, at the man in the mirror, and if we're not happy with what we see, you have to know that God can change what you see in the mirror. Now, your outward appearance might be the same, but unlike just changing the outward and not the inward, when the inward changes, then your eyes see things differently. I thank God that he is in the extreme makeover business. God sees possibilities in you and me that we often miss when we look at ourselves. He's also able to do for you and me what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, those operations that people get to change their outward appearance, they're very expensive. I read that the doctors that do plastic surgery make tons of money over other doctors. So I don't know about you, but I can't afford to get an outward operation to change my outward appearance. Neither can I afford to change my inner appearance, my inner spiritual man. But thank God, the good news is that he has already paid the price for my physical, my inner operation. My inner soul, God has already paid the price when he gave his son to die on the cross. But his makeover is different than any other makeover. The reality show is an external makeover, but God is internal. He deals with the inward man. He deals with the heart of man. He deals with the spirit of man. When your spirit man is changed, it does not matter whether you're in jeans or Pierre Cardin suit. It does not matter if you're in Walmart tennis shoes or Stacy Adams shoes. If your inward man is changed, you are a changed person from the inside out. He makes you a new person. This is an extreme makeover by God. This extreme interior makeover means that you have to change. In other words, you become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. In other words, you can be a brand new you. Oh, I'll still recognize you when you walk by me. We'll still recognize each other But when people see you, they would recognize something has changed. You're not the same person that you were last week before you met Christ. Something is different about you. How many believers have heard people say that to you? There is something different about you. They don't realize that you had an extreme makeover. You may ask, how did this extreme makeover come about? It starts at the point when you hear the word of God. When you hear what the Lord says, it changes you. It requires no surgery. However, your heart has to be opened. Acts 16 and 14 says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us." Listen, she heard the word of God, "whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." When she heard the word of God, she had open heart surgery. Her heart was opened. That is when the transformation starts. That is when the change starts. That is when the extreme makeover starts, when you hear the word and you open your heart. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Psalms 51 and 10 says, this is David talking, and he said, "Create in me." Before we read that, this was a time in David's life when he had experienced a makeover. And in the process of his makeover, he said to God here in Psalm 51 and 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me." That is the transformation. That is the extreme makeover that we all want. You see, the extreme interior makeover we get is forgiveness from God and reconciliation with God. You know that, you know what it's like when you're angry with a person, perhaps your spouse or a friend, and you guys fall out and you're not speaking to one another, and you recognize the tension. You walk in your house. I don't know about you, but it's rough when you and the spouse are not speaking. And she's angry, or you're angry at her. But remember how it feels when the ice is broken and the relationship is mended. It feels so good to have peace in the house. And that's what we get with God when we experience a makeover. In a very real sense, we were once enemies with God, but now we are his kids, his dearly beloved, and he views us as holy and pure and cleansed by the death of his son. We are given a makeover, and it's not about the exterior. Yes, maybe our exterior is worn out a little bit. Those are just battle scars. They show that we have lived. We not only survived, but we thrive because we have a relationship with Jesus. The word of God has made many instances of the transformation that one has to go through in order to become a child of God. Now understand, religion does not offer this transformation, but it is only an encounter with the Spirit of God that causes you to be transformed. It doesn't come from knowledge, but it comes through revelation. The greatest way that you realize that you have went through an extreme makeover is by the fruit that you bear. Understand that when you go through this makeover and you've accepted Christ, or even if you haven't accepted Christ, but if you accepted Christ, keep in mind you still need some work every now and then. You still need a little nip and tuck. You still need a little tightening up. You still need your body to be fixed. But know this, that these bodies we're going to trade in one day. We're going to give up these bodies. We are going to put on a new body, and we're going to be changed by God. The Bible lets us know that at one point that we would have to turn these bodies in order to walk and talk with God. These bodies that are falling apart, this old temple that we're living in now, is not going to last forever, but it's going to fade away one day. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a story of a man in the Bible who had an extreme makeover. He was transformed into a brand new creation. His name was Saul, but you may know him by his makeover name, Paul. There is much we can learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. Far from ordinary, Paul was given the opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. The story of Paul is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ and a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. We're not beyond a makeover. Regardless of what you've done in life, regardless to how you've lived your life, you are still a candidate for an extreme makeover. However, to gain the full measure of Paul and his life, we must examine his dark side and what he symbolized before becoming the apostle of grace. Paul's early life was marked by religious zeal. He thought that he was doing the will of God by torturing and murdering the people of God. His relentless persecution of the early church. But fortunately, years later, Paul's life showed a marked difference as he lived his life for Christ and for the advancement of his kingdom. Remember, Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. But before then, his story unfolds somewhere in Acts around the 9th chapter. It points out to us how Saul's life experienced an extreme makeover. Before he met Christ, he was a very different man. It looks at the difference between what he was and the difference Jesus made in his life. And he will make the same difference in your life if you would just accept him as your personal Savior. You got to know that, as I said, these bodies, we're going to give them up one day. 1 Corinthians 15 and 49 says, just as we have been born the image of the earthly man, so will we bear the image of the heavenly man. These bodies that we're in now, we are carrying and wearing the bodies of a sinful man. Adam sinned, and we inherited those bodies. But this scripture tells us that one day we're going to turn these bodies in, and we're going to trade them in for a heavenly body. Book of Revelation, it's not on the screen, but in the 7th chapter, David is talking about the end times, and he talks about how an elder saw a number of people. And he asked David, who are these people? And David said to him, these are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to know today that this transformation causes us to wash our spiritual robes in the blood of the Lamb. Now, Saul, also known as Paul, was against Christ. He was making threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord. Paul went from house to house arresting Christians. If you remember, he was present when Stephen was stoned to death because he was talking about the Christ being the king. It was Paul who consulted and agreed to the murder of Stephen. It was Paul that voted for the death penalty for all believers. He even went to the high priest once and asked for a letter of permission to go to the synagogues in Damascus. And then when he got there, if he found any believers, he would have them arrested and put in prison. And I wonder if you had been a Christian at that time, would you have gone to share the gospel with a man like Paul? Is that the kind of man you would want in our church? Is that the kind of man you would expect to be converted? But I want you to know today it is exactly the kind of man that God chooses to use. God uses ordinary people. And you also have to understand that Satan comes to church. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he has no problem coming to church. He comes to disrupt and to mess up the things of God, but he has no power here. It reminds me of a fairy tale that I used to hear in school about a little girl named Little Red Riding Hood. The fairy tale says that there was a wolf that wanted to kill and devour Little Red Riding Hood. So what he did is he went to Little Red Riding Hood's grandmother's house. He knew that Little Red Riding Hood was coming over to see Grandma, so he went and got rid of Grandma, and he put on Grandma's sleeping gown and put on her sleeping hat and got in Grandma's bed in order to deceive Little Red Riding Hood. That's the way the devil is. The enemy will put on the choir robe. He will put on the minister's collar in order to deceive the people of God. But the Bible lets us know that we know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And we as believers have to be just like Little Red Riding Hood. But when she saw the wolf in grandmother's clothes, in grandmother's bed, she noticed a difference. She said, "My grandmother, what big teeth you have. What big ears you have." And that's the way we have to do with the enemy. We have to know the enemy, and we have to be the people of God that stands against the tricks of the enemy. So on the road back to Paul, on the road to Damascus, on his way to dog out the people of God, something happened. One of the most dramatic encounters with Jesus in the Bible happened on the road to Damascus. The Bible says as he traveled, a light shined from heaven and caused him to fall to the ground. And it also was so bright that it blinded him. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Why are you mistreating the people of God?" Saul did not know who Jesus was, but he knew that he was the Lord, because he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "It's Jesus, the one that you've been persecuting." It is hard for us to fathom what Paul might have felt like. He thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought by persecuting the saints of God that he was doing the right thing. But God straightened him out right there on the road to Damascus, blinded him. He lost his sight and his direction. And God told him, "Go to Damascus. Go to the very place where you were going to dog out and to mistreat the people of God." But the difference is, when Paul got there, for 3 days he was blinded, trying to figure out what his destiny would be. The Bible says that he fasted for those 3 days and prayed and sought God, because he had been changed on the inside. Now his appetite against God had changed to an appetite for God. His hunger had changed from hurting the people of God to loving the people of God. The Bible tells me that he was directed to go by God to the church, the very people that he hated, the very people that he had said should die or be arrested. He went to the church And there the church began to teach him and to love on him and to help him find his place. Paul ends up being one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament. He started more churches. He witnessed to more people. Paul, the man who was killing the saints, is now transformed and had an extreme makeover. Now he is working for God. In closing, I want you to know that a lot of times it's pride that won't allow us to accept the extreme makeover. A lot of times we think we're all good. Nothing's wrong with my nose. Nothing's wrong with my ears. My head is perfect. I have perfect hair. We feel the same way sometimes about our souls. Everything is perfect. I've been in church all my life. But the question is, has church been in you all your life? The question is, have you made a choice to accept Christ in your life? Have you decided, or are you too proud? I thought about Muhammad Ali. I read when he was on a plane one time, and he was about to go on a trip on the plane. Sitting there on the plane as the stewardess walked the aisles to check and make sure everybody was secure. And she looked down at Muhammad Ali and realized that he did not have his seatbelt on. And she said to him, "Sir, can you fasten your seatbelt?" He looked up at her, being the man that he was, a champion of the world. He looked up at her and said, "Superman, I'm Superman. Superman don't need a seatbelt." She looked at him and said, "Yeah, and Superman don't need a plane." I say to you that you're never too lifted up, too strong, too good of a Christian to need a little work every now and then. As long as you're in these bodies and this sinful temple that you live in, regardless of how it looks on the outside, some of our temples are leaning, some are leaking, some are falling, but it is what's on the inside that makes the difference. Know that you're not Superman or Superwoman, but you need Christ in your life. You need an extreme makeover. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you today because you've loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son who died on the cross for us and gave us an extreme opportunity for a makeover. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your tender mercy. Bless this church, Lord, that we not only be hearers of your word, that we be doers of your word, and that we bear good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.